Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
And welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker filling in. You know, there was a comedy bit by Ryan Long and Danny Polish. Chuck, they do a podcast, but they also do these skits on YouTube. They did a really popular skit maybe 4 years ago, 5 years ago now. It was when woke and racists agree. And there's a lot of things that they agree on. I don't know if you remember that one. It went viral. It was very good. But they do this podcast, and they wanted to point out why the left will never have a Joe Rogan. So I think this is brilliant, the way that the comedians lay this out. The reason why they'll never have a Joe Rogan is because what they are actually chasing is something you can't obtain unorganically. So let me play this for you, Dan, and tell me if you agree with it. This is clip number 7.
We get a liberal Joe Rogan. It was like, see, the fact that you're trying to manufacture this means you see power and you're like, how do we get that power and then manipulate them into our thing? You go, the answer would be you'd have to stop wanting that.
Yeah, you have to stop wanting it. You have to be not dishonest constantly.
But they can't, because they see, you know, they're like, they keep seeing a thing as, how do I use this?
Yeah.
And you go, well, you don't use it. You're like, it's like, how do I have a friend? It's like, you know, people that are like networking and they're like, hey, how do I become friends with that guy so I can get him to put me on his thing? And we'll be like, sure, some people can be really good at manipulating. But you go, the better answer is that you actually make actual friends with people.
Yeah.
And you go, the goal of like every interaction you have with people wasn't to get something immediately.
I'm sure these people like less CNN or whatever, like, how much ad spend do we have to do to like get a left wing Joe Rogan? Like, what does that look like?
Yes, they think they can manipulate the world.
Oh my gosh.
That's true.
Well, in that whole selfish mindset too, like, what's in it for me? That describes the problem with the left, is that it's this me, what's all about me, internal looking, internal perspective. Whereas I think a true conservative is someone who cares about their fellow man. They care about others in some cases first before caring about themselves. And they're passion is genuine and not self-serving. Does that make sense?
I love how he broke it down.
And yeah,
saying is essentially, no, what they see is power and they want that. They don't want any conversation. They don't want any connection. They just want the power associated with it. And the other comedian points out that CNN probably looked at it as a calculation. How much money do we have to spend advertising this person in order to elevate them to the point where it's perceived power, which is not the same thing.
And
good for them.
Yeah, and there's an argument to be made that Joe Rogan isn't really a righty or a lefty. You know, I just think he's a curious, genuinely interesting dude who's always trying to learn, much like Charlie Kirk.
Yeah.
Charlie Kirk's whole mantra was learn something new every day. He would challenge the college kids he spoke to, would be like, be curious, ask questions. Don't just accept what people are handing you, but be boldly interesting, you know, and be interested in things you don't know about. And I think that's how Joe Rogan's become popular is, and he maybe in the past 2 years has leaned more right. You know, he did endorse Trump. He did support certain policies of Trump that I think surprised people early on. but he just couldn't buy into or attach himself to Kamala Harris. He just felt there was no substance there, and he certainly was calling into question the mental acuity of Joe Biden all 4 years of his administration. But really, many of his views are left, I would argue.
Yeah.
But what I like about him is that he's open to learning stuff and examining stuff, and he's not so polarizing in his viewpoints. You know, he brings anybody on his show. I mean, look at the diversity of his guest, and he'll and he challenges, whether you're from the left or the right, he's going to challenge you with really probing questions. And I think that's what's
a big
made
part of it.
Yeah, that's what's made Joe Rogan successful. I don't think it's because he's left or he's right. It's just that he's honest, and I think he's genuinely curious.
We have former U.S. Senator Jim Talent joining us in 10 minutes. Looking to have a conversation with him. But before we get to that, let's do the short list.
The Mark Cox short list.
Whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, whatever your belief is, I will fight for your right to speak your mind. We reject political violence, and we reject the crazy left-wing radicals that gunned down our friend Charlie Kirk. Let's talk to one another and not try to shoot each other down for disagreeing.
Right. So that was a rally in Michigan, and Vice President J.D. Vance, when you talk about rallies, we know midterms are going to be very important for Republicans in a lot of different states. So no reason to wait. They're going to get out there ahead of the message. But one of the big messages that he's bringing out now, bringing radicals out and talking about the political discourse and just having discussions with people, sounds very presidential to me.
Yeah.
Sir, Democrats have been attacking me for a decade, as is the fake news media. They didn't like the fact that I exposed the Russiagate hoax and the largest weaponization of the FBI and DOJ in U.S. history.
They're mad at me. I know that there's a lot of people mad at
Cash Patel. Yeah.
But I think he handled himself well.
Yeah, he definitely had the gloves off. He was not going to back down from any of the attacks against him, especially some of the personal attacks against him.
Does the COVID vaccine reduce hospitalization for children under 18?
It can.
It doesn't. The statistics are inconclusive, and the reason you can't prove that it does is there's so few people under 18 that go to the hospital.
Wow.
Going back to your story, Dan, with the guy at the car wash buying a lotto ticket, it'd be like you going to the counter and saying, am I going to win the Mega Millions tonight if I buy this ticket? And the guy behind the counter saying, you can. And you knowing you have one in 256 million chance or whatever it is to win it, knowing very well you're not going to win it. And that guy is lying to you because he knows you're not going to win it either. But he says, I can.
That was Susan Monterez, who was the former CDC chair. And she just, you could just tell by her face, I am getting my butt kicked right here. And it was all factual. He had his data. He had his research. She had nothing, nothing to back why she kept these COVID vaccines in the schedule, and one of the reasons she was fired by Kennedy.
This idea, it's like, do not ever, ever, ever compare anyone to Hitler. And if you do, then you will incite somebody to say, well, now I feel like I have to stop that. And
bam.
You know, can we just expand that out a little bit? This is one of the tools that I think the left uses. When they are confronted with something they don't like, they'll say, well, the reason is because the person that's accusing or bringing up the facts is a Hitler or a racist or a sexist or a bigot or a fill in the blank. They use this as a defense mechanism that's totally disassociated with reality, but they use it as a way, I don't know if it makes them feel better to call someone else a name, but it doesn't further any dialogue. It doesn't build any connections with that person. In fact, to me, it indicates that this person isn't really worth talking to, honestly.
Yeah, when they just get into resorting to name calling instead of actual debating content, debating policy. Here's a concept. Why don't you bring forward some policies that are alternate to what the Trump administration is doing? You just can't oppose and fight and argue and call names. You got to present something. Give me some policy that you believe in or something that's going to make America better that we can debate. But they don't do that. All they want to do is call names, and that the threat to America, and you're all fascist, and you're all, you know, Hitler. And they think that language doesn't impact how people are going to act, especially people who maybe have mental health issues. You know, they fuel the flames of hatred versus really fighting for alternative policy. It's amazing to me that they run on nothing. They have no concepts. They have no debate, real debatable arguments. It's gotten to a point now where it's just almost laughable. You just sit there and predict, okay, is she going to say fascist? Is she going to say Nazi? Or is she going to say end of democracy, right? That they're going to end democracy.
Yeah. Spoken like a real deplorable.
Thank you. Exactly.
Use that term. I forgot about that one for a while. All right. Jim Talent, former U.S. Senator and chairman of the Reagan Institute's National Leadership Council, joins us after the break. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show, 97.1.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
FM Talk. Joining us now, the former U.S. Senator from Missouri and chairman of the Reagan Institute's National Leadership Council, Jim Talent. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Ryan.
Can I read a headline for you and get your reaction? So,
yeah, sure.
This is from The Guardian. Bernie Sanders becomes first U.S. Senator to say Israel committing genocide in Gaza. So is Israel committing genocide in Gaza?
No, it's the classic accusing the victim of the crime. So it's Hamas that attempted to commit genocide. They don't have the power to do it, but they did have the power to kill 1,200 Israelis, murder thousands of others. And I always point out to people that given the size of Israel, about 9 million people, you have to multiply what happens to them by about 35 to get an equivalent episode for the United States. So that'd be equivalent to what, about 35,000 people being killed by the forces of a foreign government. Okay, that's who Hamas was the government of Gaza. They sent in their army. That's what they did. All of it to Israeli, well, not all of it, but virtually all of it to Israeli civilians. So no, Israel is defending themselves and they are moving to wipe out Gaza, eliminate the remaining, not Gaza, Hamas, the eliminating, although it's going to wipe out a lot of Gaza. They're going to eliminate the remaining Hamas infrastructure in Gaza City. And I think they're going to end up occupying the northern part of Gaza as a further buffer against future attacks. And the world will benefit. I mean, I think Rubio said the other day in Jerusalem, he said, Hamas needs to cease to exist. And to the extent that's possible, I think it's going to happen in the next 3 to 4 months.
Jim, Dan Buck here. You know, back in the day when you and Kit Bond and we were working together on legislation for homelessness in St. Louis and various things, there was always such a sense of bipartisanship behind the scenes. So you always had your public fronts and your public arguments and things. But behind the scenes, you used to talk across the aisle. I remember one time I was in your office. You picked up the phone. You called Lacey Clay. You said, let's co-sponsor this bill. What's happened? Why do we now have just such polarization where I don't think those conversations and you know, behind the scenes working together to get things done is occurring? And why has our congressional and administrative branches, why are we at such odds left and right?
A number of things, Dan. It's a really good question. I would say a couple things. One of them is that the Democrats as a body have, or as an institution, have moved to the left. which is ironic at the same time as really Trump is occupying the center. I mean, if you look at the objectives Trump is pursuing, they're all things that would have had sympathy on both sides of the aisle when I was in the Congress, you know, whether it's controlling illegal immigration or stopping crime or restarting the manufacturing base. You know, we could go on and on. So part of it is the ideological difference is bigger. Another reason is, and you have to understand how politicians think, when you have, like, let's just take the House, when you have, like, 90% of the House or close to it in seats that are considered to be safe, who is it you're worried about in an upcoming election? Well, it's a primary challenge because you figure you're going to win the general. And so you tend to want to satisfy your base. And as we've seen in the reaction to Charlie Kirk, a lot of people in the base on the left, not all of them by any means, but a lot of them don't want you to do anything that looks like it's cooperating with Republicans. This CR is an example, because all the Republicans want is a short-term CR, basically preserving the status quo on spending while they pass appropriations bills, which, by the way, that's a really great thing. They're passing appropriations bills. I mean, I could go on and on. Social media, the fact that everybody can be a star now, so that members, and this is true on both sides, are tempted to just become celebrities rather than to be legislators. There's a whole lot of reasons to
it. Man, it's just so sad to see, because I don't think we're getting anything done. Yeah, go ahead, Ryan.
Well, it's interesting calling Donald Trump a centrist. And you're right. If you look at it like in a classical sense of how we would used to describe a centrist, it to me indicates just how far left this country has drifted. And it goes to show you of why so many people fight hard to try to at least get back to the center. But the ones that are trying to correct the drifting are looked at as far right, which is really not the case. All things considered, it's almost like We've gotten to this point where it's 100% necessary for us to fight back, to try to get to back where we need to be. But fighting back is looked at as like aggression anymore.
Yeah, and you mentioned Trump. I like to like not read anything about Trump for a couple of days other than just the actions he's taken, and then to step back and try and figure out who he is and what he's doing, because I just think it really helps to clear your mind. He is pursuing, as I said, centrist ends, but he does it in a bold way, or in a way that in the context of Washington is considered radical. And I think it's a deliberate political tactic on his part. I think by and large, it's very smart, because the political opponents just automatically rally in opposition to them. And then they're the ones exposed as being extreme. I mean, a classic example is what Trump's done on the transgender issue. So he doesn't want men playing in women's sports. Well, that's not really a very controversial objective. And yet he just pursues it without any kind of qualifiers or conditioners or apologies. And his opponents just oppose it. So, I mean, this is even in the Middle East. I mean, he's supporting Israel, and they're going after groups that the international community has designated as terrorist groups. I mean, that's Hamas, that's Hezbollah, that's the Houthis. It really is okay to go after those people. I mean, we did it for a very long time in the aughts when I was in office, right?
Yeah.
So it's a really interesting phenomenon. I mean, Trump is not pushing a national pro-life amendment. He's not pushing privatizing Social Security. He's not pushing laws to constrain unions. I mean, to the contrary. He's basically a kind of an Ed Koch approach, somewhat more consecutive, conservative Ed Koch. That's who I like to liken him to.
Jim, we've got about 1 minute left. Real quickly, Trump has run some recent comments regarding term limits for Congress. Is there any chance? I think it's one thing that bipartisan people would say it's a good idea, but do you think there's any chance Congress would ever vote it through?
You know, in the 90s, we tried. We actually passed a law, which Clinton signed, a statute, which tried to exercise Congress's power over congressional elections to limit terms, and the Supreme Court struck it down. And I have to be fair. I think they were probably right, constitutionalists. So it has to be a constitutional amendment. The Constitution is very difficult, and appropriately so, to amend. And so the answer is very probably no.
Yeah.
It's never going to happen on a federal level.
Jim, we're out of time, man. May always great to have you on and get your perspective on things. Thanks so much.
Okay, good talking to you too, Dan.
All right, buddy. Wow.
Thank you, Jim.
Yep.
Former U.S. Senator, Chairman of the Reagan Institute's National Leadership Council, Jim Talent, on 97.1 FM Talk. And welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in Mark Cox Morning Show. Dan Buck, good morning to you, sir.
Hey, good morning. Good morning.
Do you ever get that coffee? You said hazelnut.
I did. Got the hazelnut, got the creamer. We're good to go for the next round, for the next hour and a half.
I wanted to do a quick look up and see what some of the trending stories were, because sometimes when you prepare the show and by the time you start and you're a few hours in, the stories could change. And I went to the Hill and I wanted to see what stories were trending. And I was surprised to see the Jimmy Kimmel taken off the air was down the list now. There's so many other stories that bumped it down. So let me read you a couple headlines, because I still think the Jimmy Kimmel thing is what a lot of people are talking about. Mm-hmm. But maybe people don't care as much as Jimmy Kimmel as we thought. So top story right now, Bondi in hot water over hate speech comments. I'm just going to go through the list before we get to Jimmy Kimmel. Trump pick plants flag amid Fed battles. Senate GOP strategy emerges in shutdown fight. Let Schumer be Schumer. Fears mount as CDC advisors meet on child vaccine schedule. Harris says Buttigieg first choice for VP in 2024, but proved too risky. Democrats face dwindling options to counter GOP on redistricting. The 25 staffers who make Capitol Hill run, that's more opinion pieces. Then it goes, Trump approval drops to record low of second term. Tim Kaine apologizes to ex-CDC director. Trump first lady joined royal family. And then ABC takes Jimmy Kimmel off the air. They drop that down their list so quick.
Yeah.
Do you think people just don't care about Jimmy Kimmel? That's why?
I think people, as this day goes along, there's going to be protest out in front of the ABC headquarters. I think there was already a small crowd gathering this morning that I saw on Fox News. It's going to continue. This fight isn't going to be over. The fans of Jimmy Kimmel, if you remember when the last clown got taken down, Colbert, there was about 3-day news cycle on that, because they want to make sure that, everybody shows their outrage and how we're fighting against the First Amendment. He had every right. No one is saying he didn't have the right to say what he said. There's just consequences sometimes with your employer when you say stupid things like that in a time of national mourning, when more than 50% of America is mourning the death of Charlie Kirk. You don't make it part of your comedy monologue. It's just common sense, common decency. And ABC absolutely had the right and the authority to say, we're not going to have it. We're done with this toxic environment, at least to the extent that we're going to make light of and a joke and tell lies, by the way, to say that this guy was part of the right, which was, you know, the main part of his dialogue. So I think it's going to have a longer news cycle just because you're going to have the counter protest. You got to give them a couple days of press, which the left protesters always get press. You ever notice that? How CNNs of the world always will show the protest when it's left-leaning, but they won't show 500,000 people doing a pro-life march in Washington, ever. They won't even mention that it went on. So, yeah.
Well, if they do mention it, they'll say a couple thousand people showed up.
That's what they'll say. Or they'll go to the Supreme Court where there's 19 people there from the pro-choice side, and they'll cover that and then go, oh, by the way, there was a pro-life march going on, too. 500,000 people.
And, yesterday we covered this on the show. So Luigi Mangione had a court appearance and they covered all the crazy women out there in love with Luigi. So they were out there in full force looking at the protesters, the ones that want to see Luigi freed. And I kept thinking to myself, I'm like, of the people that are out there, like, let's say we're looking at some of these abortionists that are just doing horrific, real horrific things, and people protest. they wouldn't give them the time of day to tell their story. But if you're in love with a murderer that shot the CEO of a healthcare company, then boy, we want to get you on the evening news.
Yeah. How about the one lady who was married to his AI? Did you hear that?
We played some of the clips yesterday where she said,
dude,
she
can't fix crazy. I mean, that was absolutely amazing to see that to see that gal sit there and go, well, I'm married to his AI version and we're very happy together. I'm like, oh my goodness.
Well, with your history and news and everything, so if you're out on the street, don't you want to find people like that to talk to?
Oh my gosh, like, that's a gold mine. Yeah,
yes, exactly. I mean,
that is like, you know, if nothing else, it's just part of a good comedy bit sometime, you know, or especially in this day and age, I would cut her up into little small bites. That's a sound bite, right? But and just make her last 3-4 days if you're in social media world. I mean, she was a gold mine of sound bites. Because what we played is only a small fraction of what that full interview was. I don't know if you saw like the 3-4 minute raw tape on her. She was oh my goodness. She was in another planet.
Let me put it this way. My son, who's still young, he's 10, but when he gets a little bit older, I'm like, son, these are the women you stay away from.
If they have eye makeup like she had on, and just stop right there. Just stop right there. You don't need to engage with that lady. Right.
Let me show you some of the signs of things you get away quick.
Yeah.
So I want to play a couple of dueling clips for you and get your reaction to it. One's J.D. Vance and one's former President Barack Obama. So let's start with Barack Obama on the speech he gave. I think this is his first appearance since the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And he mentioned kind of the point where we're at when it comes to simmering down some of the discussions that are out there. So this is clip number 3.
We are certainly at an inflection point, not just around political violence, but there are a host of larger trends that we have to be concerned about. I think it is important for us at the outset to acknowledge that political violence is not new.
So, and it goes on a little bit further, and he said, you know, none of this was around when I was there. I was a uniter, where he basically says, when I was president, this stuff wouldn't be happening because I united people. You buying that?
First of all, the guy, that was 27-second soundbite, and he said 23 words. I'm so tired of the dramatic pauses when that guy speaks. I was like, are you kidding me? Would you just speed up a little bit? What's your point? And it's because he wants you to think that every word he says is important. And to me, he's so irrelevant today. Where's your message of hope and change, you buffoon, right? I mean, this guy has so lost his party, and he was the beginning of the crash of this party. He was the one who really started the negative campaign saying that the right was somehow anti-democratic. That whole narrative of they're going to destroy democracy started with him, right? If you were opposed to any of his policies, at the same time, this is the guy who's introducing universal health care, thinking that the government can somehow run your health care program better than the private sector. And he was going to make it cheaper. No, he didn't. He made it more expensive. Oh, it's going to be better coverage. No, it's worse coverage and higher deductibles than the former private coverages that you could get through your employer. Oh, we're going to make it free market. No, you're not. You're going to put it on an exchange and be in bed with health care, and you're not going to do anything to lower cost. In fact, you're going to increase the cost of health care. I mean, the guy, everything he claimed that the Republicans were fighting for was exactly everything he accused them of was exactly what he was doing. And that's what they do today, right? They accuse them of being Marxist while they're trying to move us towards a Marxist-style government. They're saying that he's a dictator when that's all Biden did was dictator through executive orders to get things through, whether it be free student loans for everybody, and he was going to pay it off with an executive order. No, you don't control the purse strings. That's a violation of how the Constitution was written, that the purse strings belong to Congress. It was just amazing to me to watch, and it started with the the Obama administration of accusing the other side of exactly what you were doing.
And yeah, well, I mean, there's a big part of that and the things that we uncover after the fact. But let's just take what President Obama said, which was really nothing. I don't think he made any point. He just, you're right, stretched the words out and compare it to our Vice President J.D. Vance, who spoke yesterday in Michigan. This is clip number two.
And I would like to think that whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, this basic idea of young people gathering to discuss and debate, that is the thing that we cannot let pass away just because the leader of Turning Points USA was gunned down by an assassin. And I want to let you know that whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, whatever your belief is, I will fight for your right to speak your mind. We reject political violence and we reject the crazy left-wing radicals that gunned down our friend Charlie Kirk. Let's talk to one another and not try to shoot each other down for disagreeing.
Now, there's substance.
All right, so
right, there was 100%.
Yeah. There's substance to what J.D. Vance said. There was no substance to what Obama said. You know where J.D. Vance stands on this. Do you know where Obama stands on this? After that, no, we don't. In fact, I don't think he said much of anything in that 25, 30 seconds that we played before. And the silences in between don't make it any more wise. You know, to make it sound like, oh, look at the wisdom of this guy. He's really, we need to listen closely to what he's saying because there's so much substance there, which there is not. You're right.
And he's talking about the young people having the freedom to openly discuss and debate things and doing it in places that have been traditionally indoctrinating kids only to a leftist agenda or a leftist, ideology in college campuses. The fact that he's promoting, let's keep that dialogue going. Let's make sure that both sides get a chance to present their cases and let young people decide for themselves, not through an indoctrination of one voice and one message, but having that open dialogue continue. Now, some people will say, well, isn't he saying the exact opposite of what just happened to Jimmy Kimmel? No, Jimmy Kimmel was given the opportunity to speak on behalf of ABC and his show. He just chose to make it completely discolorful and a lie, saying that this guy was somehow a MAGA supporter. He knew this is after the text chain had been given. He knew that this guy was not a leftist a right wing MAGA, yet he still chose to lie to people and push an agenda that was false, and he's going to pay for it. Right. So if you want to go out there publicly and use your platform to lie and to be deceitful, know that there's going to be consequences, that people are going to come after you now. That's what Charlie Kirk asked us to do. And yep. I think that's all what's right. happening. So we're not saying you don't have the right to say it. Just know you might have to have a consequence after saying it. And I don't think anything that J.D. Vance just said could ever be used against him. Right.
Oh, you're just getting heated up now. We got to save some of this for the next segment, which is your segment coming up after the break on the Mark Cox Morning Show, 97.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
On FM Talk.
But don't give a f-.
It's that time of the show when we feature a social media pioneer, somebody out there on various platforms giving the truth and most mainstream media ignoring them with everything they can because they don't want these voices to be heard. They speak against the common narrative of the mainstream media. They are out there professing the truth. And one of the stories that really touched me, and it always touches me when a law enforcement official, I have a lot of police officers in my family, And we lost three officers. Two more are fighting for their lives after being shot in a shootout yesterday in rural Pennsylvania. And our thoughts and prayers go out to them. And I thought, who could I bring on? This is Thankful Thursday. Who could I bring on today's Buck Don't Give a Beep? And I came up with a very easy one, a guy who shows up on my feed every day on X. He's also out there on YouTube. You can find his podcast on, I believe, Instagram as well. But he is truly just a great conservative voice out there, a man of God. He is a African-American former police officer. His name is Brandon Tatum. He goes by Officer Tatum on most of his social channels. And he is in a big-time defense of Charlie Kirk, a dear friend of – sorry about that. He's a dear friend, and he said the other day – this is a cut I'm going to play – when people were trying to paint Charlie Kirk as a racist and that we shouldn't celebrate his death because he was a racist. Well, listen to Officer Tatum, a man who knew him well, an African-American former police officer, lay out all the reasons why Charlie was anything but a racist. Hit it.
I've been working with Charlie since 2017. We held the first Black Leadership Summit at the White House for Black conservatives to go. Never has happened in the history of the country. Charlie's idea, the white man you're talking about, his idea was to galvanize. And you know who helped us do it? For you suckers out there, you know who helped us do it? We got one Black man to donate us money to get all those kids out. We pay every single one of their airfare. We put them up in a hotel. And some of them ain't never been to the White House before. Some of them ain't never put on a dress before. They never had an occasion where they can dress up before. We paid for every one of them to get there. One Black man gave 20 grand. Who was helping us raise money to get Black people to the White House? White people. The man that stood next to me that would go to fundraiser to fundraiser. The woman that stood next to me to go from fundraiser to fundraiser to tell people about the mission that Charlie Kirk started was number white people. And then you turn around, that man ain't never been racist to me. Charlie ain't got a racist bone in his body. Y'all Negroes don't want to hear the truth from a Black man. The funny thing is, you claim that it's bad that people are honoring Charlie Kirk, and he was much better of a man than George Floyd.
Yeah, and he goes on to talk about how Charlie did so many things for the African-American community. If you want to tune in to him, I'm telling you, he's on my feet every morning. He is a breath of fresh air, a guy out there promoting the truth. He's a man of God, a great speaker, husband and father. Just you're going to love him. It's Brandon Tatum. His handle is The Officer Tatum. That's at The Officer Tatum. Also, you'll find him as Officer Tatum on YouTube. So go out there and check
Fantastic.
Him out. Add him to your feed. Follow him. Isn't he good? He's awesome. It's 7:56.
Hopefully we get him. Yeah. Wouldn't that be great to get him on?
We're going to get him on.
Next week would be fantastic. All right. Next hour, Griff Jenkins is joining us. He has a new role at Fox News, which is very exciting. And Shannon Bream as well, Fox News Sunday. All the Weekend Warriors on Fox News joining us next hour on 97.1 FM Talk. Don't go anywhere.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.